Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's easy to forget about what a great resource libraries can be. From the obvious benefits, to having access to a broad range of parenting books for no cost to you, libraries offer many additional resources that can make them lifesavers for new parents. Today we're talking about how libraries can be a great resource for new families. This is Bill Sanwald, manager of the Sanford Children's Library within the San Diego Central Library, and this is Parent Savers, Episode 80.
Faster than a speeding toddler.
Sit still for just a minute.
Can soothe boo-boos with a gentle kiss.
Would you get down from there?
Able to clean poopy bottoms in a single swipe.
Oh, what did you eat?
Turning frazzled mommies and daddies into procreators of peace and harmony.
Ah, quit touching me.
It's Parent Savers, empowering new parents everywhere.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Parent Savers. We're broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Parent Savers is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for parents of newborns, infants, and toddlers. I'm your host, John Ariel. Thanks again to all of our loyal listeners for sticking with us and for listening to us each and every week. And thanks also to everyone who has joined the Parent Savers Club. As you guys know, you get access to bonus content after each new show, plus special giveaways and discounts. And we recently unlocked all the archives to all of our episodes, so if you ever want to dig back and go listen to any of the shows that we've done in the past year and a half, make sure to check those out, and if you like them, definitely send them on to your friends. You can subscribe to our monthly Parent Savers newsletter for a chance to win a membership to our club each month. Another way for you to stay connected is by downloading our free Parent Savers app, which is available in the Android and iTunes marketplace. So before we begin our conversation on libraries, let's go around the room and introduce ourselves so we know who we're listening to. We've got a full house with some panelists as well as Bill. As you guys know, I'm Johnner. I have three boys, a six-year-old, a four-year-old, and a two-year-old, and we definitely do make use of the library system. I'd say thanks to my wife more than me, and maybe that's something we could talk about too, is the marketing of who it goes to. But Aaron, why don't you reintroduce yourself to everybody.
Well, hi, my name is Erin Esteves, aka OG Mamacita, and I have one boy. His name is Cash, and he'll be about two very shortly, and I am an excited fan of the library system. I love libraries.
My name is Beston Barnett. I'm a furniture maker, and I guess the technical term is primary caregiver for a nine-year-old who's third parent has probably been Bill here at the library. I didn't even realize it, but my son and I have been there every week since he was born. So I have nothing but enthusiastic things to say about the experience.
Awesome. My name's Heather. I'm 27, and I work in online education. I have one son, Lucas, who is almost 4 months old.
Ooh, little boy.
A little one, but we've still enjoyed the library even in that short time.
And I'm Bill Sanwald. I am a librarian. Tomorrow, I'll actually have 20 years with San Diego Public Library. I started when I was 17. I have two children. One is a son named Kaz. He is 6 years old. And then I have a daughter named Yoshi, who is three.
Nice.
And I, of course, use the library since I'm there
every day.
40 plus hours a week.
So. Already for the past 20 years.
Yes.
Nice.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Before we get started today, let's talk about a news headline. We do this from time to time about an article that's in the news that we think is kind of funny or noteworthy. And for this one, the baseball playoffs just started, and the Oakland A's are a team in the major leagues. And what happens is when these teams clinch, they have these big parties in the locker room where they spray champagne and there's alcohol in the locker room because it's a big deal after the season. And so after it was televised and on TV, this website Deadspin took a screen cap because they found in the background one of the players and his wife's was feeding a beer to their baby who's really young. And I've got a picture of it here. And so the A's post-game celebration featured a beer-drinking baby. And so for the second year in a row, the Oakland A's have shocked everyone by capturing the AOS title. The team celebrated after clinching the division, and everybody had a good time, including this young 5 or 6 month old baby in the background.
Oh,
and there's a picture of the mom in the background. You can see giving her a beer. And so there was kind of some snarky feedback from websites, you know, before you freak out and lose your minds, note that the baby wasn't driving home,
because
that is ridiculous. And you know, and people are assuming that the mom gave the baby a small sip of celebratory beer, but I'm not even sure that that's what happened here. I haven't seen the video, but you know, certainly I've drank beer before around my kids and empty beer bottles, and they kind of want to be like it. There's been times where I've made sure that like beer bottles are empty,
right,
and they'll start like bottling, because that's mm-hmm. what the grown-ups are doing.
Right, and but, that's what I was going to say, is that there's the assumption that there's actual liquid in the bottle.
Right,
right.
But let's say there is. What do you guys think about giving even a sip of a beer to like a 5 month or 6 month old baby?
I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't. It surprises me.
I know that there was an era. I remember, like, as a little kid, like, taking a sip of my dad's beer
totally.
Or something, but, you know, not a 5 or 6 month old. No, but I know there were times
months,
when the
yeah.
kid's teething and they would grab
right.
something. But something like this, I wouldn't do something. I mean, I would be a little bit upset if I was in the room and I saw that happening. So.
My assumption goes to that it's just the baby, like, mm-hmm. mouthing
yeah.
the bottle.
Or they thought it was a funny picture. Like, you see people all the time. And
right.
Like,
oh, maybe they're
like,
in the background.
Maybe the baby didn't actually drink anything. Yeah. I don't know.
But there is a crowd that says, you know, what's the big deal? It was a biz event. And the kid,
that's a little young.
They even say that, like, moms, though, like, you know, like, we've talked to, like, a pediatrician friend. She's like, it's probably okay if a pregnant mom has, like, a glass of wine. Like, it's not that
yeah.
big of a deal. You just don't want to overdo it. So I still am not going to go out and give my kids a celebratory beer. No matter how excited I am.
It's fairly nutritious stuff.
Yes. All that hoppiness.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today's topic on Parent Savers is public libraries and how they can be a great resource for new parents. So thanks for joining us, Bill.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So let's start off by talking about public libraries. How many public libraries are there in the country?
Well, according to the American Library Association, there are nearly 120,000 public libraries throughout the United States.
That's a ton.
Yes.
I mean, that's
So no matter where you go, there's a place you can go for free right. that will welcome you.
And we're even here in San Diego, and there's how many are here in San Diego?
Within just the city library system, we have 36 libraries. The county has over 30. So I would say there's at least 75
right.
public libraries.
Yeah. And I mean, pretty much any part of town you go to.
Yes.
And really anywhere around the country, there's mm-hmm. going to be a public library. And I think that, you know, maybe parents
depending
can
on budget cuts, of course.
Well,
yes.
That's right. I mean,
yes.
that's, I guess, one of the things, you know, that I found with our library is, you know, the hours that it's open.
Well, the good news is things seem to be on the upswing. So we're adding more hours. We didn't have Saturday hours for a while. We have
yeah.
those now. We're looking to hopefully expand those. A lot of the branches are now open on Sundays that weren't open Sundays before. So things are going back towards the direction of having more hours.
Good.
Nice. And so one of the things we want to talk about is, you know, how can new parents really benefit from the library system?
Well, one of the biggest things when it comes to, you know, with your kids is and using libraries is just exposure to that whole environment is very important. Exposure to an environment where parents are reading, where you're around books, where you're around activities.
Mm-hmm.
So early literacy is one of the big focuses we've taken in the libraries, especially at our central library and our branches as well. So I think the biggest thing is, number one, get a library card. Make sure your library visits are a normal thing. Make it a weekly or biweekly thing.
Yeah.
And just look and see what the library has. And if we don't offer something that you want, let us know. The more we get to know your library staff, the better we can help you guys out.
And you guys really want to help people that are
yes.
coming there.
And that's the big thing right now. We're so busy with the new central library opening. Is I love talking to people and finding out what do you want, because we're in the midst of shaping our programs. So Heather and I were talking, for instance, and we were talking about the types of programs she would like, since she has a very young
mm-hmm.
baby. And we have some things, like we have a baby signs program happening a couple times a month. We're looking to get a baby yoga. So a lot of things happening that will be really in line with new parents.
So yeah, so there's activities, but I mean, to focus on, we'll get
the
to
materials
that in a second. But for the materials, it can even start before the baby's born.
Right, right. Just reading to them, talking to them, singing, those are all important things.
And resource books too.
Well, oh, yeah, resources for parents.
For myself, I live a block away from the Central Library's past location, so I was very spoiled in that sense. It's now six blocks away. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. No. But while I was pregnant, I was going, like, every other day, and I was coming home with stacks and stacks and stacks of books.
Right. You can go to the baby store, and those books...
Hundreds of dollars.
And
yeah.
And that's a huge... I remember when my wife was pregnant with our first kid, is I would every day go grab another book, and I would... You could see things like, this is how my child looks when they're 12 weeks old. And books... There was books for, like, dads, like, hey... You know, you're gonna be a father. Here's how to, like, handle this new responsibility you have.
And do most libraries have those?
Oh, every library. Yeah, that's a big subject. And I believe 618 around there in our...
For those of you that are...
Yeah. It's the Dewey number. Yes.
Yeah. Nice. And then, in addition to that, then, you said there's a big emphasis on stuff for young kids.
Right. So we have a lot of programs, but a lot of materials, too. So most libraries try to have, of course, board books, which are a big thing for kids. You just getting them used to, like... handling the books and realizing you turn the page and something happens. When they're really little, they're going to be probably just chewing on those books, which actually is still a part of the whole early literacy development. And then as they get older, they want to see...
Is the chewing on the books?
Well, because they're getting used to, you know, handling them. Yes. And then they chewing on them. And then they start wanting to look at, like, pictures of other babies. And then they want to look at pictures of kids doing stuff. And it all kind of leads into realizing that, you know, hey, there's some purpose to these things other than putting them in my mouth and...
So that brings up a question that always concerned me as a mom, because I would get books and I would take them home and immediately do a little, like, cleaning of them with the wipes. How clean are the books in the library?
That's a Mythbusters question.
Well, we do generally have staff and volunteers. As the books come back, you know, we look at them. We have volunteers that come in and will actually clean books for us.
Okay.
A lot of groups from schools and so forth, we will have carts of books. If I see a kid with a book in their mouth, I keep an eye on it and then immediately grab it and say, this is going to the clean pile. But, you are touching things that the public has touched, so it's not a bad idea to have, you know, something on hand. But one thing I've also learned from having my kids and at the beginning being really paranoid about germs is, you know, having a little exposure to stuff that's dirty is not going to...
It won't kill them. It'll make them strong.
It kind of does, yeah. With my son, I was worried about everything. With my daughter, I'm like, whatever. She'll
survive. My favorite is there was a book I think I originally found at the library, although I was somewhat squeamish about actually using the library's copy. That my son loved at about this age, you know, the, like, 6 months when they're finally starting to eat some things that aren't milk, was this book put out by General Mills. It's like this,
I've seen this
Cheerios picture book. So each page is a sort of, you know, it's a little lamb or a farmer or whatever or something, and there's little spaces where you can put a Cheerio.
Oh, that's cool.
You put five Cheerios on the picture, and then you get to eat the Cheerios, and then you turn the page. It struck me as maybe not the best book for a library
most
to have, but
hygienic.
They did have it.
Yeah.
And
I've seen that.
Well, is there a vetting process
we
that the books
that one
go
right
through?
Up, let me tell you.
Before we purchase them?
Yeah.
If it's something we're purchasing, we generally look at professional reviews. If it's something that's donated where it hasn't cost us anything, we'll look at it and say, is this something that people would enjoy? Is this appropriate for our collection? So a lot of times those are books that we get donated and we say, okay, we'll go ahead and add it. But I don't know if I've seen any big Publishers Weekly reviews of the Cheerios book.
Well, Heather, what kind of stuff do you do at the library when you do go?
We've gone a couple times. We started pretty young. Gosh, he might have only been 6 or 7 weeks old. We started going at the Ocean Beach branch. They have a Mommy and Me yoga class. And we started going to that because I very quickly got cabin fever staying in the house with my little one. So we went to that. We've been going weekly. It's a great chance to get out. And, I mean, we live in Mira Mesa, so it's not around the corner. But a chance to get out and see a different part of the county and – you know, get to go to the beach. And the teacher is awesome. She does one class for infants. I think it's up to a year. And then the next class immediately following is for toddlers. And sometimes we end up just staying for both.
Nice. Well, and so that's free to you, right?
Completely free, yep. And, I mean, it's a half hour of yoga every week that I don't pay for.
Yeah.
Which my husband's happy about. And then we've also gone to, at the Scripps Ranch branch, they do like a singing story time.
Right.
We've gone to that. That's on Wednesdays, I think. That's completely free again. And even, I mean, doing it there with a group of people is awesome. But even like afterwards, I've continued some of the songs where there's like movements and stuff. Mm-hmm. We still do those like every night, like because it makes him smile and he knows the song. And like you can tell he's starting to kind of remember and like laugh about it. But yeah, it's great. I've met other parents and other moms and their babies. And
yeah, that's right.
Made friends through it.
Right. How is that stuff free, Bill?
Well, we have a every library has, you know, funding for programs and so forth.
Right.
A lot of the libraries, they get their funds through like our Friends of the Library groups help us a lot, so they'll have book sales and other fundraisers. We have other groups that help raise money for the library as well, like the San Diego Public Library Foundation, which did a lot of fundraising for the new Central Library. And sometimes we'll have people that will come in and just offer to do stuff for free for us because they want to do cool things for the community. So, but yeah, I mean, in the case of something like, you know, like the baby yoga, it's usually paid for through the branch's programming funds.
They'll pay them, the instructor
right.
that comes in.
And the city matches funds that are donated as well. So when our Friends of the Library groups put money into our accounts, they will, the city will match at least 50%, if not all of it.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, it's a great way to, I guess, get people into the library.
Right. And I personally see libraries, the big thing is not just books, not just, you know, programs, it's just a forum for information and ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter how we offer those information and ideas, whether it's in a, you know, a class like a baby yoga or whether it's in a parenting book, I think it's just, those are all containers of ways we're trying to help people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think it also engenders a sense of community too. And it's kind of like you were saying, where you can connect with other parents, that, you know, the library is a place that, you know, everybody's welcome. Mm-hmm. Everybody can go to it. And if you go to some of these classes, you can run into people like you or going through similar things.
Right.
Definitely.
So. Yeah. There's a lot of people have made friends I've seen going to programs. And I've actually made friends with some of our patrons and volunteers, you know, because we start talking about our kids. And it's a great way to connect with people.
Yeah. So what about like DVDs and stuff as well?
Yeah, we offer DVDs for checkout. As long as you bring it back on time, there's no charge.
Right.
That's the dangerous thing, is people will check out a whole bunch of stuff and then they'll be late and, you know, oh no, I owe money. But, you know, if you're careful. And
you guys don't root for that, right?
No,
I mean, sometimes, like, there's circumstances.
They don't even get to keep the money from that, actually.
No, they don't. It goes to the city, right?
Right. So it's not like it's a secret money-making ploy.
No, in fact, most librarians aren't happy when we tell people, hey, you have a fine. And it's not fun when people like are arguing the fines, because we don't have a lot of freedom to necessarily waive those fines. And so it's nice. It seems like a lot of times the parents who come in are the ones who are really understanding. A lot of times they're almost like really sorry, like, oh my gosh, we kept these books a day late. Okay, it's like, well, okay, you owe a nickel, you know, like
right.
It's okay, you know. So it's, yeah, it's most people really understand. It's that small percentage that get really upset.
Well, and on the note of DVDs, I would say I went and toured the new Central Library just this past week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I shouldn't say toured. I gave myself a tour. But I was surprised by how many DVDs they had that were new movies.
Nice.
I mean, like in the last year. And I think there's maybe a misconception. Maybe it was an error on my part. But I kind of figured everything was going to be, you know, 10 years old.
Yeah,
and
old.
And outdated on a VHS.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
But there was a lot that had come out recently that I would check out and, you know, watch for a date night at home.
And that kind of ties into the whole thing about like the books being dirty and so forth too. We're constantly ordering new materials. You know, we every branch has a budget for ordering materials, but we have a collection development team that does that.
Yeah.
As their main focus. So we look at, you know, we have some software that helps us determine like what we should purchase, like what the needs are for branches. Mm-hmm. But we look at too, like, okay, these are old materials. We need to get rid of these and get some replacements because these are dirty or whatever. So,
and like, is there some sort of like clearinghouse that libraries get good deals on this stuff? Or are you?
We do have a main, you know, some main vendors we work with who do provide a discount, and they also save money by processing materials for us and so forth as part of the contract. So.
Let me guys ask you guys a question as parents that go to the library, because my wife and I get in kind of a disagreement about this.
Uh-oh.
So she kind of doesn't have any limit as to how many books the kids should get. So sometimes she'll go up to the checkout with like 18 books for like our three kids, one of whom was like 1 year old that didn't even really need books because he just wanted to gnaw on them. What do you guys do when you guys go to the library? Do you guys set limits? How do you guys decide what the kids can get?
I have a giant IKEA bag. I expect to load it up, and it's not mostly the kid. I mean, I'm kind of addicted to these giant, like, art coffee table books, you know?
Got it.
I'll just, like, pull them off the shelf, and, you know?
So you, like, fill up the bag.
I fill up
That's
the bag.
That's my approach.
It's like apple picking, right?
Let the kid just whatever. I mean, there's a limit to how many DVDs you can get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I guess there's a limit. If you get enough expensive books, there's, like, you hit a price limit, too. But it's hard to hit it.
Got
you
got
to really, like, pile them on, you know, to do it.
I didn't know that one.
See, I just, my thinking is that if my kids are just going to leave these books sitting in their room for a week or two, I mean, if there's more books than they can even get to or think about, you know, telling them, well, maybe we should leave them at the library so other people can have access to them. I mean, do you guys have any thoughts or...
Well,
I'll tell you a quick story about this one parent I got to know when I was working at the Mission Valley Library. And she had a child who liked to pull off a lot of books, but she didn't want to take so many books home. So we had this kind of agreement that the child could hand me the books and I would act like I was, because that was the big thing. He just wanted to keep handing me the books.
Right.
And then she had two piles. She had the ones that they were actually taking home, which was a small pile, and then the ones that they weren't. And he just wanted to hand me them. So maybe come up with some trick to make
it. So you would take them and then give them to her and she'd put them in the right pile.
Yes.
And then she might leave a pile behind. And he wouldn't know because there are so many
right.
books.
Right. Yeah.
That's smart.
Nice. Do you guys go to the library?
We haven't had a limit. I mean, I only have a 4-month-old, so he's not really all that interested. but in general, I mean, I remember even back to going to the library when I was a kid, and it was always kind of a talk about, like, what are you really going to read? It kind of depends how often you're going. If you are going, like you said, you know, a couple times a week, what are you going to read by the time we come back? I mean, if we're not going to be back for 3 weeks till it's due, okay, then, you know, get a few more. But if we're going to be back here in a couple days, you don't need that many books.
All right, well, let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll talk a little more about how you are reaching new parents that maybe hadn't thought about the library to get them to come in and some other stuff. All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to Parent Savers. Today, we're talking about public libraries and how they can be a great resource for new parents. So what are some ways that you guys reach out to new parents and try to market to new parents to let them know that the library is a good place that they can be welcome and that you guys can help them?
Well, beyond the library doing things like embracing social media in recent years, I think the best way to reach new people is to reach out to organizations and start partnerships. So we might, you know, find a group that's in need of, they might say, hey, we want a place we can meet. We don't have a place to meet, but we have this cool program going on. And we'd say, okay, well, maybe we can provide the meeting space and you can open it up to the public. So just finding ways to bring people in, really by reaching out to groups, to seeing what the community need is. Every library should continually do needs assessments of their communities and their patrons. And also realize, too, that the people in your neighborhood aren't necessarily people coming to your library. So, you know, for instance, you know, kids who are in school during the day, that's our population during the day in terms of who are serving as kids, but they might not live there at night. A whole other group of kids might live there in the evening. So that keeping those types of things in mind and just finding ways to get out there and really talk to people and make ourselves known and get the word out on all the cool stuff we offer. So like one thing that we did this last summer and we've been doing for a few years is we have a booth at Comic-Con. And I believe Aaron actually talked to one of our librarians there, and you know, that was kind of how initial connection was formed. So, so just getting in places you wouldn't think libraries would be.
What's the overall mission of the library? Because I feel like a lot of things we do as parents, you know, we go to a play place, an indoor play place, and their ulterior motive is they're trying to make money. You know, and it's providing nice things for kids. But what's the library central mission?
So the big mission is to inspire lifelong learning through connections to one another and connections, you know, between ourselves.
Yeah.
So.
And so really, you guys want to get people in there.
Right.
Not to make money off them, but to help them.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. That, it's kind of
weird. I
don't
see the library
it's so
as a money-making
Well, but it's just kind of weird to me, like, in this. I mean, and that's one of the cool things about library in this day and age that, like, it is such an altruistic place. That's what I think is so cool about
it. I think that's really true. Recently, I had the chance to go to the East Mesa detention facility, and I talked to a group of teens who are just about to be released, and I was telling about all the resources we offer. And this one boy raised his hand, and he said, how do you have all this cool stuff for free? Like, what's the catch? And he really just didn't realize, right, like, there is no catch. It's your tax dollars at work. You know? Like,
if anything, it's the library, you know. If it doesn't have altruistic motives, it's that the more people it gets in there, the better it can make its case when it comes to funding.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So,
and so more people can help it, you know, even do more, better job.
Yeah, and you know, there's the idea that, like, oh, libraries are loud now, and, you know, some, when you have, like, kids especially, like, our children's library is hopping. We have places in the library that are quiet, but really, if you have a library that's quiet and things aren't happening, it's not going to be a library that's going to be around much longer. We need people in there. We need energy. We need community. Yeah.
Vibrancy.
Yes.
Well, let me ask you about that. What's the etiquette if your kid is going crazy or if there's rambunctious kids around? Because I'm sure that that is a barrier for some people wanting to go because they're embarrassed by how their kids are going to behave with the library.
Right, like my son during story time, there's no way he's going to sit still, so I don't take him to story
time. Is there, like, a level that you guys are accepting that, like, you know that there's 2 and 3-year-olds in the audience, so...
Right, and... I think that as people who work with children, we need to be advocates for them, but we also need to have some realistic expectations. So usually before I do a story time, I'll let parents know, you know, I'm not going to be offended if your child starts making noise or they're too wiggly. They don't have to listen to the story. You guys can, you know, pick them up and go do something else. Or if a child's really screaming, generally if we say go over, you know, parents are not happy that's happening anyway. Like when my kids are freaking out somewhere. Right. But as long as we go over and we aren't accusatory and we're just like, hey, would you, you know, mind just maybe stepping outside for a minute and then come back in when...
Yeah.
And usually they're pretty accommodating.
That's got to be a tough one, though, I bet.
It is. Yeah. It is. Because, you know, for me, like when I had my daughter throwing a fit somewhere and someone comes over and they're like, you know, sir. It's like, yeah, I know. I'm trying to get her.
I'm well aware of the situation.
But, you know,
really? She's screaming?
We also want people to feel welcome, and kids are going to make noise, and that's why we advertise, this is when our program's happening. Like, we have other times that are quieter. You might want to plan your visit accordingly. But with the new library, it's great because we have the children's library is kind of self-contained, and then there are quiet spaces. But in a smaller branch, it might just be like, you know, don't come at 10:30 on Tuesdays because that's when it's going to be noisy in here. But explaining to them also that this is important for us. This is, we're reaching these children and they're become lifelong library users. And these are the people who are going to be supporting us. And this is what's helping us, you know, keep our doors open because we're able to reach all these people in the community.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the really popular activities that you guys have seen that have been really successful in getting people into the library?
Story times, of course, are kind of the go-to that are huge, but I think a lot of the newer things, like when Heather was talking about the baby yoga, activities like that, we've been having a lot more classes for, you know, adults, like Zumba and stuff, but they've been having, like, things for kids kind of in that category. A lot of more, like, play activities, like Lego clubs or video game programs for kids. But for the 0 to 5 age, I think a lot of things where you can kind of just let them have some time to play, time for adults to connect with one another.
Like some dance concert type things up here at our local library with like some local kids based artists, Hullabaloo.
Yeah, Hullabaloo rocked the house today at the Central Library. Nice. It was great, yeah.
Yeah.
And let's not forget that Bill himself has led some DJ classes. That's more for the teens, I guess.
Yeah, we have a couple staff members. I'll give them a shout-out. Jay Rosso and Tension, who are local DJs who are awesome, and they did some programs for us, and it was great. And Beston brought his son.
Yeah. Purely by accident, but yeah, we had fun.
So, Beston, you were saying that you guys have gone to the library, like, every week.
I pretty much once a week for 10 years now. You know, the thing about the... I'm thinking about the reason that happened.
Yeah.
First of all, because I like libraries, but also because it seems to have sort of fit each of the sort of various phases, not only of the kid, but, like, of myself as a parent, you know? I mean, for the first year, I was the primary. My wife was working very hard. And I was... You know, miserable at times, for sure. It would be silly to pretend not. And the library is a kind of a safe place for miserable weirdos.
Yes,
who love
yes,
books.
That's why and, I love
and
it
their
so
kids.
Much.
And I, you know, that worked for
I'm
me in that period.
Because I'm picturing that as their marketing stuff.
Right, no, like, I would, like, go and get my, like, book of, like, Picasso's Blue Period, you know, and I would, like, lie down in the kid's room while the kid, like, banged, you know, he's like whatever 3 months old, you know, he's like, and somehow that worked for us, you know. And then a year later, what was working was something else, like Spanish story time we went to in Mission Valley for a long time. And then a year after that, something else was working. Like, now he needed, like, comic book things or whatever, and I was learning about photography. I had my photography books, he had his things, we'd hit them both up. And then, at some point, when he's four, he starts watching movies, so we can, like, watch all of the Scooby-Doos continuously from start to finish. We got them all at the library once a week. Yeah. The once a week thing works, too, for the big pile of books, because you know you're going to take it back in a week.
Right.
The DVDs you only get for a week, so it kind of works out. It takes the stress out of it in many ways, like it was a routine. Now it's very much like he goes to the, like, animal section of the nonfiction in the kids' room.
Yeah.
And I go look at the audiobooks. And it seems to kind of like the library is always just kind of one step ahead of us in terms of, like, where we were going to be in our next little phase. And that's been wonderful.
Nice.
I know for us that my husband really likes the new location because Cash is to the point to where he can walk longer distances. And I said it's about 6 blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt really likes to take Cash there in the afternoons. And they'll walk to the library, go hang out in the library for a little bit, and then turn right and go to the Petco Park, and then play in the park for a few minutes. And so by the time he gets home, the kid is wiped.
Right. Some of the best things you can just ask for as a primary caregiver, whether or not you're a weirdo or not, is an activity, right? Something to do. And it's the library is a great thing. It's the run-up to getting there, being there, coming home, and then even coming home with the stuff that you brought home. So
it's like shopping without spending money.
Yeah. Love it.
Well, I will say too, when I was, I'm a new parent. So especially the first, I'd say, month or two, I was, as a mom, a little overwhelmed with the fact that, like, when I was breastfeeding, I would sit down to breastfeed and I was there for like 45 minutes trying to feed this baby. And I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do with this time? Like, I'm just sitting here. You can only look at Facebook so much, right?
Right.
And so finally I'm like, I need to read something. Like, I need to use my brain during this time. And I got my library card. Thank you very much. And I went online and the library has a ton of free ebooks. So I didn't even have to go to the library and pick it up because my kid hates the car seat. So I just went online and I'd pick it out and download it. And I could sit there breastfeeding with one arm and clicking my Kindle with the other arm.
Yeah.
And I could make it work. And in that way, it was a huge help to me because it gave me kind of like a release. And I didn't leave the house. I couldn't have an activity, but I was still able to, like, keep my brain on during that time.
Well, yeah, you get that. You get the benefit without the cost.
Yeah, it was great because I didn't have to pay anything, and you know,
Christina's book club. Like, you know, she'll always go to the library and see if you can get it there instead of going.
Oh well, you know, there are all these really neat new tricks with the library. Like, you can put a hold on a book, and even if it's in a different library than yours, they'll bring it to your library
for free.
What? Yes. I didn't know this.
Yes. We've been doing that for a while, but yeah, it's all free. You can leave up to 25 holds.
It's even bigger than that now. Now you can request books from, like, UCSD or...
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, I know. I saw that thing where they've opened up to the university library.
The circuit.
Yes.
How does that work? I'm picturing, like, some trained owls.
Well, basically, we're helping each other. So kind of like I was talking about how we reach people by working with organizations where it's mutually beneficial. It's kind of the same thing. So we have a lot of materials in our collection that these other library systems might be interested in and their patrons and vice versa. So we have a small team of people that are just constantly, you know, having the books in and out all day, and our patrons are loving it.
Nice.
That's so cool.
It's great. It's great. I'm just really curious as to what my library history is going to look like. You know, say 100 years from now, if somebody stumbles upon it, do you keep those? For how long do you keep the history?
No, I believe for privacy.
Sends them straight onto the NSA.
I know.
They've got we have a lot of people that come in and say, hey, can I get my, you know, history of books? Because they're curious about what they've read, and we're actually not allowed to keep those type of records.
If they have the right clearance, though, I imagine.
I unfortunately am not at that level. I'm still lowly that I don't get to see that.
Awesome.
Great.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for listening. For more information about public libraries and Bill and what's going on in San Diego, we're going to put some links up on our episode page, so make sure to go to parentsavers.com and check that out. We're going to continue the conversation for members of our Parent Savers Club. After the show, we're going to talk a little bit more about finding books and how easy it is to do and how it's changed over the years. So make sure to stick around after that. And if you're interested in learning more about the Parent Savers Club, visit our website.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift
it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Hi, Parent Savers. This is Sunny. I'm one of the producers on the show. I'm sitting here with Kelly Sue. She is the designer and founder of a company called Baby Moon, which makes multifunctional products for babies. So, Kelly, welcome to Parent Savers. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Sunny. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit. I know you founded the company. So tell us why you founded the company and why this is so important to you.
Well, I designed the Baby Moon pillow for my daughter when she was young, when she was at 3 months old. She went in for a checkup because she developed a flathead syndrome.
Okay.
And I had no idea what that was as a new parent. And what I found out was, you know, when a child is laying down on one position too long, their head is very, very malleable, so it causes flat spots.
Sure.
And her pediatrician recommended that we did, you know, repositional therapy, which did not work for my daughter. She hated laying on her sides. She just wanted to lay on her back. And so, you know, I looked out into the market looking for product, maybe something that she can lay on, a pillow or any kind of a support that she can lay on that wouldn't put any pressure on the back of her head. And I couldn't find anything out there like it. So I designed this product for her, and it worked really well. And you know, I know that there are a lot of new parents out there who don't know what a flathead syndrome is or how it's caused. And like me, I couldn't find anything like that out there. So I really, to me, I wanted to help those parents as well and their children. So that's why I feel that this product is very necessary and important.
Yeah. We actually did an episode on Parent Savers about plagiocephaly. And yeah, and we had a doctor on and talked about that. You may want to go back in the archives and check that out and understand why this is an issue, you know, why kids need support like this. So tell us a little bit more. I know that's one of your products, and you're launching a new product, right?
Yes, I am. We are launching a product called Cuddly. It's children's wearable blanket.
Okay.
And it comes in two different sizes, ages 1 to 3, and then 3 and up. The blanket is really nice. You can use it in car seats and strollers. You know, I found that, you know, with my daughter, she hated wearing coats or blankets over her when she's strapped in. You know, she gets too hot. She wants to take off her coat. You know, you're driving. You can't pull over. You know, and you throw on a blanket over them, but the blanket slips off. You know, it wasn't
right.
Very useful. So I designed a blanket that actually has sleeves, and it stays intact so that she can wear it while she's strapped in and her arms are still mobile, so she can, you know, play with her iPad or have her snacks or, you know, still move around without feeling like she's just kind of strapped in and bundled up with her blanket.
Yeah. Overall, what are you hoping to accomplish with your company? Like, what's the goal? How do you want to help parents?
Well, I really want to design products that are innovative, products that are multifunctional, so that, you know, you buy a product that's not just for one use, but for multiple uses. You know, like these days, you know, parents, you know, you're on a budget. And mm-hmm. you really want to spend that money on the right product, but not just for one use, you know, but for multiple uses. And so that's kind of how I want to help parents out there, you know, save, cost effective, and products that really help.
And how can people purchase your products?
They can purchase it on our website. That's shopbabymoon.com. We are also available on Amazon and over 50 different stores throughout the United States.
Yeah, and you can go on your website to see all those different locations,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And for everyone listening, if you go to their website, which again is shopbabymoon.com, you enter the promo code NEWMOMMY20, they're going to give you 20% off your order, which is fantastic. So, Kelly, thank you so much for being on our show and for creating products that help new parents like us in our everyday lives.
Thank you so much, Sunny.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Parent Savers. Don't forget to check out our sister shows, Preggy Pals, The Boob Group, and Twin Talks. Next week, we're going to be talking about another new topic of interest that should be great for new and new again parents. And how many times can I say new as I wrap up the show? We're going to do it one more time, and maybe Beston's idea, we're going to say it all together. This is Parent Savers.
Empowering new parents.
All right. All right.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Hey mamas, don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.